of Judea. In the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Amen. Thank God for his word this morning. Thank God for the wonderful scripture that's been read here already. What a wonderful presence of the Lord we feel in this place today. God's word really... As I get up here this morning, words just kind of fall short to really declare the glory of the Lord just in the reading of the wonderful text that we've already heard here this morning about our coming Lord, amen, about a babe that came in a manger so many years ago and really just changed the course of time. I smile every time I think, when I write down a year and I think of our world and where it seems to be turning away from religion or Christianity in so many ways, but yet every time we pick up a pen and begin to write down a date, it marks a time. It marks a certain span of time. It marks a time when Christ came into the world, when God took on flesh and became like unto man and was made in the fashion as a man, but yet still fully and truly God, the Son of the living God. And so when we think about the wonderful text that we've read already here this morning and think about all the fulfillment of the prophecies that were given and many of them that was read already here about that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled over and over again, the signs that were given so many hundreds of years before was ever seen with the natural eye, but yet was spoken of by the prophets, holy men of God, moved on by the Spirit of God and begin to speak things that they may not have fully understood and fully comprehended, but yet they knew that it was something that was afar off, something down the road. Well, you and I, where we sit this morning, we're not looking down the road somewhere for something to take place. We're not looking off in the future when our Messiah would come, but we are looking back over 2,000 years ago and remember and know that when the fullness of time came, it wasn't a once upon a time experience, but it was a dated time. It was an accurate time. It was a recorded time. Men have looked throughout history and you can speculate and you can deny certain things, but if you're truth with history and true with the record that is given, it's very plain that in the fullness of time, Jesus came into the world. Amen. And it is that that we celebrate this morning as we think about what it means to so many. We can look back and we can sing the songs that we've sang here, so powerful, such strength in the words. When we think about men in error pining, men in their sin, and men in their fallen self, and yet Jesus Christ coming and making a way that we might have life. Amen. That we might have peace this morning. Amen. That many messages have been preached about it. Many songs have been written. And we draw our attention this morning to the details of this great birth and all that took place around it. Christ's birth accomplished and what followed that great birth and what lie ahead. Amen. Even as the words were read here, as Corder was reading about the prophecy there of Simeon, you cannot remove from this beautiful picture of a birth, but yet also a piercing, also that of a sword, always that shadow of the cross that is before our Savior, as even here in this manger, even as a small child, a prophecy is given. So many prophecies fulfilled. Isaiah spoke about him being born of a virgin. Micah spoke about him being born in Bethlehem. Hosea prophesied that he would be called out of Egypt, and the prophets over and over again spoke of him coming from Nazareth, that Jesus Christ was indeed and without doubt this morning the prophesied king. Amen? That he was the King of Kings. If we look, we've read here in Matthew chapter number 2, if you just went back and looked through Matthew chapter 1 there, as it lays out the lineage or establishes the kingship of Jesus Christ and his right to be king, as we followed his lineage, you can look through the genealogy of Jesus there and follow his pedigree, if you will, born of the seed of Abraham, of the son of David, and on throughout the text there. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 26 says this. Luke 1 talks about him being born of a virgin. Luke 1, 26 reads this way. You don't have to turn there. I can read it for you. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent forth from God unto Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled in his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto thee the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. That was the prophecy given by the angel. Well, Mary, as you can imagine, her response here, she says unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen. What words this morning to think about a prophecy that was given so many hundreds, 600 to 700 years before Mary would ever walk upon this earth. A prophecy was given by Isaiah and talked about, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. It's a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. A virgin shall conceive. Well, how do we define that? There's many today that will define that term and say, oh, that doesn't mean a virgin in that literal sense, but it means a young maiden. Well, that would not be a sign. It would be like me saying, I'm going to give you a sign. A woman shall bring forth a child. There's no sign there. There's no miraculous event that took place there. But if the prophecy comes out and says, a virgin shall bring forth a child. Well, what is a virgin? Mary says that she gives us the explanation of that. She goes, I know not a man. So it was a sign. It was a miracle. It was God speaking in the Holy Spirit moving upon her and says, that which is in thee shall be conceived of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Son of the living God. He was a king by virtue of his lineage. But also, as we see here, and what I want to focus on this morning, is that sign of a star. Amen. There was a star that rose up in the east. There was a star that positioned itself over a little town, a little really insignificant town, if you would. It wouldn't be so much Jerusalem. It wouldn't be probably one of the great capitals or one of the great strong cities of its time. It was just a little small town, a little shepherd's town by the name of Bethlehem. And as our text tells us here this morning, as we were looking there in Matthew chapter number 2, it talked about saying these wise men that came from the east to Jerusalem. So I want to talk about this star this morning. I want to talk about what these signs are, what the significance of each of them is. As we see that these wise men from the east came. When you think about the east, it says wise men came from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Amen. There are scholars that tell us that these men could have easily come from Babylon or from Persia or one of the distant lands. And these people were not, it was not uncommon for them to look for signs in the heavens. They would look for the stars. And somewhere throughout their history, somewhere throughout their past, they understood that there was a sign that a king would come, that a king would be born. And so often when they looked at the stars or they saw a great event that would happen in the skies, it would make them aware of the fact that there was something great that was going to take place. There are some that even would believe that these wise men from the east goes back even throughout their history from the time of Daniel the prophet. And if you remember the story of Daniel there, when he was taken captive into Babylon there those 70 years, it seems like in our studies here lately, we keep on coming back to that Babylonian captivity. What it must have been such a significant event to take place that so much transpired because of that 70 years of captivity. But now we're talking about the prophet Daniel, how that he was one of those that had been taken away captive. And if you remember when the dream had come unto the king, that he sought out his Chaldeans, or he sought out his wise men to give him the interpretation of this dream. And he wouldn't tell them the dream. That was the catch for him. And they would be like, well, tell us the dream and we'll give you the interpretation. It's not fair. The deck's stacked against us here. How do you expect us to get their interpretation? You're not even going to tell us a dream. And there's many that believe that those men, they were astrologers, and they would look at the skies, and they would look for events, and they would look for these things. Now, I don't want you to leave here this morning saying, Pastor Keith is telling me I need to be looking to the stars. I mean, I know that sounds a little far-fetched to you. You're grinning at me like I would never do that. Well, let me tell you, some of your friends are. They're checking their sign in the newspaper as they get up in the morning. They're going to look in. It's probably not even a newspaper anymore. I know they got apps for that thing. They got apps for it. I just saw it this week on an advertisement. They sent me an advertisement that said I can click on my name, and beside my name there's a little sign. I could click on that sign, and I could find out what the stars say I should do for the day. Now, I couldn't help myself. I don't know who I was responding to, but I went ahead and responded to them. And I said, I'm looking to Christ for my direction, not to the stars. Now, they haven't responded yet. Now, they might. And they might call me foolish. But I've got a response already for that. You're the one looking at the stars. Not me. You're going to call me foolish. Because I'm looking to one that did come to this earth 2,000 years ago. I'm looking to the one who did come in time and space. I'm looking for one who did. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, recorded in history. And I'm not looking up to the sky for my future, but I'm looking unto the sun, the S-O-N this morning. Amen. Because he is a lamp unto our feet. He is a light unto our path. But yet somehow God, in his sovereignty and in his divine will and in his providence, chose to reveal the birth of his son into the world to wise men from the east by a star. And so they saw that star in the east, and they were moved, and they began to trek their way into Jerusalem. And so they followed that sign of a significant birth. It was a sign of a king being born into the earth, rose to the point where they saw it from the east. It says, where is the born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star and are come to worship him. Now, this raises a good question. And I had the same question when I was a kid. So it can't be that great of a question. How deep can it be? I was 10. But here it is. Why couldn't Herod see it? I mean, it was over them. It says, when Herod heard Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And he gathered all his wise men together. He gathered his crew. He says, okay, search the books. Search the records, all the priests and all the scribes and all the people together. And he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, I'm thinking you probably need to listen when Herod speaks, because he's the king. Now, there's those that will tell me that part of the threat of his kingship was that he wasn't really the rightful king to be there in the first place. He didn't fit the lineage. You couldn't follow him back and put and say, okay, this man should be our next king. And so part of this threat is if there's one born in the city of David, if there's one born with this lineage, then surely my kingship might be at risk. But yet he wouldn't have enough sense. He's right under the star. And he doesn't even look up until he sees it. Now I know I leave room there for God and his providence and in his will can blind their eyes. I understand that. And what does come to mind is that of the very nation of Israel, that their Messiah walked their streets. Their Messiah healed the sick before their eyes. The bread that came down from heaven fed them right in their presence, and yet they missed it. So it's not a stretch for us to imagine this morning that Herod could be dwelling some 5 miles, 5 to 6 miles from Bethlehem in Jerusalem and not see the star. God, don't let me be right in the presence and miss your glory. Amen. Lord, don't let me be right so familiar with the things of God that I miss the power of God. Don't let me be so familiar with your scripture that it doesn't burn in my heart as I read the words from the page. Sometimes, as a preacher, I've got to slow down. And I just slow down, whether it be from the Psalms or from the prophets or from the Gospels or one of the Apostle Paul's letters, I'll have to slow down and say, God, let me see this. Let me see this for the first time. God, let me not be so familiar with the text that I miss the power of the words. That's why this morning, as the scripture was being read, without even the need for a preacher today. Because the words are spirit and they are life. Because the words impact us in such a way when we think about God becoming flesh, that God dwelt among us, amen, and walked among us and was our substitution. He came and paid the price. He was tempted as we are, yet the Bible says, without sin. But yet we find Herod directly underneath the star and just missing it. But yet here they searched. He said, go. I demand you. Tell me where he's supposed to be born. Give me an answer. It does kind of ring like that of Daniel when the king demanded an answer from his wise men. Tell me what the dream meant. And here's Herod so many hundreds of years later saying, tell me where he's to be born. And so they come back with an answer. And they give him this answer and says, here it is. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So he's pulling from the prophet Micah. Now, I've already got a bookmark there in Micah. And so now I'm going to put one over here in Matthew chapter number 2 because we're coming back there. But if you want to find Micah, I'll give you a second, and I'm not even going to ask you if you find it because that's one of those that's a little hard to find. But here is Micah. I've got the little finger tabs on my Bible, so it makes me look really smart up here. And plus, I already bookmarked it. But here in Micah chapter number 5 is where we're going to be pulling the text from. But if you look at the prophecy of Micah and the words that Micah give, it's really a word of judgment, if you will. The prophecies of Micah, all the way through through the whole book, is just a word of judgment. I'm looking at Micah 2:1. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds, when the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand, and they covet fields and take them by violence and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man in his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against the family do I devise an evil from which ye shall not remove from your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil. Words of judgment, words of condemnation, if you will, because of the sin of the leaders of the people. Look at Micah 3, verse 1. And I said, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, this is to the leaders, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? Are you not supposed to rightly judge? I mean, those leaders need to judge. Anybody? Leaders need to judge. Churches need to judge. Lay members need to judge. I know that's contradictory to what you're hearing every day, right? I heard it on the Christian radio station this week. I got so mad I turned it off. It did. Christian radio station, riding down the road. They were playing Christian music, so I was just bebopping, listening to some, I forget what it was now. Good Christmas song. I'm singing away, and right between the song I heard, welcome to the, I won't call the station. There ain't but few in this area, so you can figure it out. Says, where we don't judge. Shell was in the call. And I got so mad, I turned it off. What do you mean you don't judge? You better judge. I didn't mean to get off on that. And yet here I am, stuck out on this limb and can't get off. Is it not for you to know judgment? Verse 2, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones. This is gruesome. Listen, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. Now, don't be totally taken back by that. It's the picture of The analogy immediately takes us to that of a shepherd. And the point of the prophecy is this. The job of the shepherd was not to destroy the sheep. It was not to skin them and throw them in a pot and cook them to eat, to fillet them. That was not, so it's more of an allegory. It's more of a word picture, and as gruesome as it might be, because it's building up to something here. It's like you would not expect the shepherd to take the sheep and kill the sheep and cause evil upon the sheep. And verse 4 says, then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at the time as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. And on down through, you can read 9 through 12 and following. And so let's go back to Micah 5, because here it is. Verse 1, now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Here's the prophecy. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. This is the text that Herod's wise men went to. This is where they went back to find where was that king to be born. And where's the location? And the wise man said, it's in Bethlehem, because Micah said, out of Bethlehem, though you're little among the thousands, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. The old could represent all the way back to that which was represented on Mount Sinai. It could go past that into the ram that was caught in a thicket when Abraham ascended to the mountain to give his son a sacrifice unto the Lord. It could go past that and represent that prophecy that was given even to Eve about her seed bruising the head of the serpent, crushing the head of the serpent, his heel being bruised. But it even goes beyond that, from everlasting, it says. The lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. This was the plan of God. And so when the wise men of Herod came to him and said, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, because out of Bethlehem there is to be ruler in Israel. Now when you think about a ruler, maybe our mind goes to that of a king and a rod and authority and power, and all that is true, obviously true. Absolutely true. But this word even has more meaning than that. It's actually the word of that of a shepherd feeding his sheep. Of a shepherd that is not taking the sheep and bullying them in the cauldron, but taking the sheep, as David prophesied or spoke of in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He talked about the green pastures. He talked about the still waters. He talked about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, not that they beat me upon the head, but they comfort me. And so the prophecy that's going out is a prophecy about a coming shepherd. It's the same shepherd spoken of in John 10 when Jesus stood there and declared plainly, I am the good shepherd. Man, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And from there he talked about that of a hireling and comparing the role of him as a good shepherd to that of an hireling. But let's go back to Matthew as we wrap this up this morning. Herod, right there, right in the presence, cannot see. It appeared at an exact time for a period of time. Tell us where it will be. Tell me, where is the king to be born? He's going to be born in Bethlehem. This says, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So the star appeared at a certain time. And he sent them to Bethlehem, 6 miles down the road. That's it. Why couldn't you go yourself, Herod? Why don't your wise men go? Because we know his goal was not to worship him. He's going to demonstrate that later when the edict comes out to kill any child from 2 and below. And he bases that on the time that the Magi here, these wise men, said the star appeared. And from 2 years old, the daughters of Jerusalem were slain. Verse 18 says, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they were not. Man, what a terrible time to think about when these children were slain by Herod the king because of him trying to hold on to his rulership and his power. But yet we find that these wise men go to Bethlehem. It says, when they had heard the king, they departed. It says, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. There's that star again. There's that sign. There it is before them once again. Maybe a little more localized than before. They saw it from the east. But now it's got to really focus down. Now it's got to narrow itself down. We're within 5 or 6 miles now, so we need that star to really gather force, right? Anybody ever use one of those GPS units? I used to use that thing. I got into, years ago, geocaching. We took the kids geocaching, and it was this thing that back then you had to have a separate device. It wasn't just, now you can use your phone. But back then I had to have a separate device, and so I went out and bought this device, and you could start in Farmville, or Prospect, and you could go all the way over into Dillon. We did that one day, and all the way into Dillon. So that GPS took me from Prospect all the way to Dillon. Now, I know that doesn't seem that far in the global system, but it's pretty good for me when I was just starting off with this thing. And so it got me all the way there, all the way to Dillon. But then it had to narrow down a little more, because now we're not talking about a 20-mile span or 25 miles or however far. Now we're talking about a mile. And so then it took us down this other little road. So now I'm less than a mile away, and we're trying to find this cache. A cache with something cached or stored away. And you found these caches, and you'd open up the cache, and you'd sign and say, I was here, and you could take something out or you'd leave something, whatever the case may be. And so that was really exciting for us. We got to go geocaching. It wasn't so bad until you got to the last little bit. Because now all of a sudden you're not miles away, but you're feet away. And so we had to get it really narrowed down. And I'd be looking at that. Now we're 10 feet away. Now we're 6 feet away. Uh-oh, now we're 10 feet away again. Oh, now we're 15 feet, so we're really going the wrong way. So you had to kind of keep looking around, but not for these wise men. They had started in the east. They'd gotten all the way to Jerusalem. They got so far to Jerusalem, when they come out of Herod's palace, there's that star again, and the star began to move. But now they're following this star, and it settles over a little town called Bethlehem. And we can read the story on a little further. It says, and when they were come into the house, so here it is, into the house. No, I'm not going to debate you over the stable this morning. If you want to think that the wise men came to the stable, that's fine. But here we're calling it a house. So what's ever transpired and the amount of time that has transpired from that night, there were the shepherds heard on the hillside, and they went into that stable, and they went into that place and saw the Lord. Well, now we're finding that the wise men are coming, and they're finding this star, and the star moved, and it settled, and they come into over a house. And when they came to the house, It says, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Fell down and worshiped the Messiah. Worshiped the Lord. Man, isn't he worthy of praise this morning? Isn't he worthy of worship? Isn't he worthy to come down and just bow ourselves before him? Love the song, as Jessica was singing there, Holy Night, and talks about how that we are to bend ourselves, or we are to bow down before our Lord and worship the King. Amen. Worship the King. They brought into him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Shall let me know this week. We're going to adopt this method from here on out. If three gifts were good for our Savior, it's good enough for everybody else. Three gifts here. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. That star traveled before them. That star settled over a little town, Bethlehem. And then that star settled over a house and settled over a king. And his name is Jesus. Amen. And we're worshiping him this morning. In closing this morning, I want to read from you from a book that was given to me just shortly, not long ago. And it's a Puritan devotion. Listen to the words. This is called The Gift of Gifts. O source of all good, what shall I render to thee for the gift of gifts? Thine own dear Son, begotten, not created, my Redeemer, proxy, surety, substitute, his self-emptying, incomprehensible, his infinity of love beyond the heart's grasp. Herein is wonder of wonders, he came below to raise me above. Was born like me that I might become like him. Herein is love. When I cannot rise to him, he draws near on wings of grace to raise me to himself. Herein is power. When deity and humanity were infinitely apart, he united them an indissoluble unity. The uncreated and the created. Herein is wisdom. When I was undone, with no will to return to him and no intellect to devise recovery, he came. God incarnate to save me to the uttermost. As man to die my death, to shed satisfying blood on my behalf, to work out a perfect righteousness for me. O God, take me in spirit. To the watchful shepherds, and enlarge my mind. Let me hear good tidings of great joy, and hearing, believe, rejoice, praise, adore. My conscience bathed in an ocean of repose. My eyes lifted up to a reconciled Father. Place me with ox, ass, camel, goat, to look with them upon my Redeemer's face, and in him account myself delivered from sin. Let me with Simeon clasp the newborn child to my heart, embrace him with undying face, exalting that he is mine and I am his. In him thou hast given me so much that heaven can give no more. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence, God, today. Father, we do thank you for the gift. God, you gave it all. Father, you gave of yourself. You came in the likeness of man. You came to redeem me, Lord. Father, do take us back. Lord, let our minds see as if for the first time your glory. Lord, that this story not become so familiar to us that we miss the significance, that we miss the power, that we miss the love that's been demonstrated. Oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. God, let us not miss your glory. Lord, let us not be like Herod this morning and be right under the star and never see it. Let us not be like even the nation Israel that saw your strong hand, saw your miracles, heard your teaching, and were blinded to it. But God, open our eyes that we might behold your glory. And God, that we might be like thee. Father, thank you for it. Thank you for your promise today. In Jesus' name we pray.